If you've been set free, give God a great big hand this morning. Yeah, it's so good to be with you. If I haven't met you, I'm Pastor Rick, lead pastor here at Bridge City Church, and so amped that you're here today. How many of you have enjoyed it so far? How many of y'all believe it's going to keep getting better? Come on, there we go. Come on, here we go, set free. And I'm so excited that I have been set free. John chapter 8, verse 36. So if the Son sets you, you are indeed. That's right, free. And there's two different Greek words for free here. The first one is Jesus is saying, so if he, the Son of God, sets you free, that means releases you from bondage, removes the restrictions of sin and darkness, and allows you to spiritually grow. Okay, if he does that, then therefore you will be free. That means liberated, unbound, unshackled, free to realize your destiny. Now see, if Jesus sets you free, then you get free to get your destiny. Okay? And many of us in the room right now, we're free, but we don't realize how free we really are spiritually. We're a lot freer than what we let on. Like when Rachel was leading us in worship today, like we're all free to worship Jesus. Come on, somebody. But how many of you know that was a little awkward at first? It was like, I didn't come here to lift my hands. Right? Come on. Like I didn't like whoa. But see, but when you do it, when you surrender to God, good things happen, right? And so what Jesus is saying here, so if the Son sets you free, that means removes sin, restrictions, destruction off of your life, then you are unshackled. You are free to realize your destiny. And then he puts like this exclamation point on it. He says, indeed. That means like, That means like, yep, really, all right, let's go. That's what he meant right there. That's what that indeed is. It's like, let me stamp this for you. And that's what Jesus did for us. And when if you're a follower of Jesus, if you've confessed your sin to Jesus and you're now a follower of Jesus, he has set you free. But this world, how many of y'all know that this world is a jacked up place? There's worry, there's confusion. I mean, oh my goodness. I mean, you just start looking at the devastation in L.A. and it's just horrible. I mean, it sucks you in, am I right? And I mean, it just starts, oh my goodness, and then this is happening and that's happening. Our son in L.A., he's fine, but you know, we're getting updates all the time on how he's doing and what's going on. And like, it just pulls you in and we don't realize how much it affects us. And sometimes, even as Christians, we're not living as free as we could be. Anybody with me? I mean, I know I'm free. And a lot of times, see, like, we're like, we have a full inheritance of the Most High God. It's like we're millionaires in heaven. I know what some of you are thinking. I wish a little heaven would come down to earth. Come on, somebody. Yeah. But in heaven, we're millionaires. I mean, we have it all, right? There's an inheritance with God. But we're living in poverty. We're living on skid row because we don't realize that God didn't create us for that. He created us for a destiny. And there are times in my life where I have woken up and I've realized I'm not living the freedom that I could be. And it's like, wait a minute, God. Like, I'm the pastor. I'm supposed to be living this stuff. You know, I'm a man of God. I trust you. I give, I serve, I do everything. But there's times where life comes down and you don't realize, how'd I get here? Anybody with me? How'd I get here? And that's what this whole series about being set free is all about. As a matter of fact, if you know people at work or your neighbors or friends or relatives that you know could benefit by getting set free spiritually in their life, you got to invite them over the next weeks. I'm telling you, you got to invite them next week and a week after. Because God has something great for us here. And we're living in cages. I'm trying so hard, but I can't get ahead. And so we're looking at this guy in the Old Testament named Elijah. And he's like a miracle-working guy. I mean, calls down fire from heaven. Oh, man. I mean, traffic on the parkway right before the tunnels. Come on, somebody. How many of y'all, I mean, I don't want to hurt nobody. I just want to, you know, how many of y'all want that anointing? Yeah. Not to consume people, to things. Yeah, come on. Take the mountain away. Yeah. No more tunnels. That's what I'm believing. I have a big God. Come on. Yeah. And so he's living large and he's doing good. And then he takes on 450 prophets of Baal and he wins. King Ahab goes home, tells his wife what happened. King Ahab had a bad day, went home and told his wife about it. This is a good example of don't tell your wife when you're having a bad day. Amen. Only evil kings do that. I have proof text. I have a chapter and a verse. Come on, somebody. And so she gets her phone out and she puts a post on Facebook. I'm coming for you, Elijah. Treat my husband like that. Couldn't you just see the... So. Right? And so Elijah goes in a downward spiral. Let's look at some of the emotions that Elijah had, because I want to set this up. I want to set you up, and then we're going to look at 13 verses in 1 Kings chapter 19. Here's the emotions that he had. First of all, fear. Elijah was afraid. He had desperation. I have had enough. He had low self-esteem. I am no better than my ancestors. Anger. I've been zealous for the Lord God Almighty. This is paraphrased. I've worked hard for you, God, and you don't appreciate it. Loneliness. I'm the only one left. And worry. And anxiety. They're trying to kill me. How many of y'all can relate with at least one of those? Two, three. One of them's bad enough. You put all of them together, and how many of y'all know you're in a downward spiral? And a lot of times these things are happening to us, and it puts us in a downward spiral. And I'm here today to tell you, we're going to stop the spiral downward, and you're about to head up. That's what's about to happen in your life. That's what's going to happen. So here's the big idea. Being set free will require us to take steps. You're going to have to take steps. The first step is simple obedience. The second step, a fresh encounter with God. And the third, a new assignment. And if you will take some basic, simple steps towards God today, he is going to begin a journey of setting you free mentally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. How many of y'all know that sounds like a pretty good deal? And you get coffee too. I'm a little envious. 8 days now. So here we go. Let's jump into the first one here in 1 Kings chapter 19. Verse 5. Are you ready? Being set free will require us to take steps of simple obedience. Everybody say simple obedience. Here we go. Then he lay down and slept under the broom tree. But as he was sleeping, an angel touched him and said, "Get up and eat." He looked around, and there beside his head was some bread baked on hot stones and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. Isn't it interesting that first of all, the angel doesn't chastise him, doesn't yell at him, says, "Get up and eat. I've prepared something for you." And I don't know with you, I was preparing this message this last week in a time of prayer and fasting, and y'all fasting Monday through Wednesday and tacking on some days there. When I'm reading this story about this bread baked on a hot stone, all I need is a stick of butter, and I'm about to backslide. I'm telling you, somebody, like, I'm telling you, I'm like, I could smell it. As I'm typing, I can smell the bread. It's like, But the first thing he did was listen to me. In the Bible, bread and the stone represents Jesus, the bread of life, the stone, the cornerstone. Water represents the Holy Spirit. So to us, we look at this, and yes, in this story, it's physical, bread in water. But what God is saying to us today, when we're weary, when we're tired, when we run away, when we feel fear, loneliness, low esteem, depression, distress, anxiety, fear, panic attacks, what we need to feast on is Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Arise and eat the bread of life, Jesus, the Holy Spirit here. That's what we need most of here. But isn't it interesting here that what he did was he told Elijah basically to do, this is what you need. You need to take it, you need a nap and a good meal. How many of y'all want a word like that from God? I mean, I want to fulfill that word from God. I mean, I never get those. I get you need to stop eating so much. You know, it's like that's the only words I get from God. Like, are you with me? But what he did is he needed a hard reset in his life. And you know what you and I both need? We need a hard reset in our lives. I'm so glad. December was crazy. It was crazy, like stuff going on. And in the last 2 days of December, first day of January, I thank God I had a hard reset in my life. I just slowed down everything. Just slowed down, slowed my heart rate down, slowed my breathing down, spent some time with the Holy Spirit and with Jesus, and beautiful, wonderful things happened in my life. You need a hard reset. And you know what needs to be reset first is our calendars. We need calendar recovery. And let me try to help you. Don't write Jesus out of your calendar. Many people say, I need a rest. And the first thing they do is they write Jesus out of it. No, you need to write Jesus in it. That's true rest. That's the true nap. That's the true rest that we have here. So we need to get our calendars out and write Jesus in our calendars. We need to insert him into our lives and feast on him. Is that helping you this morning? That's what we need, is a calendar recovery here. But also what he did, I want you to catch this. Before Elijah could take the journey, he needed to get healthy physically. Do you know why some of us can't fight spiritually? It's because we're so unhealthy physically. Come on, we all said it over the holidays. Oh, the calories don't count in December. How many of y'all know? January 1st, they counted. Anybody with me? Just a thought. But we got to help ourselves physically. We got to get order, because God blesses order in simple obedience. So he got up and ate. And then look at verse 7. Then the angel of the Lord came again and touched him and said, get up and eat some more. Now that's the word of the Lord. Come on. He says, no, this is a buffet. Mm-hmm. Get up and eat some more, or the journey ahead will be too much for you. Now listen to me. Simple obedience prepares you for the journey ahead. And many of us are not prepared for our journey because freedom isn't the destination. Freedom is the starting line. Too many people think freedom is the goal. Once I get free, I'm good. No, freedom is the starting line, not the finish line. And there's a journey ahead. And if there's a journey ahead, we need to take steps of simple obedience to prepare for the journey God has for you. And God is right now preparing you for the next 12 months. That's what he's doing right now. Yeah, he says there's going to be too much for you. So he got up and he ate and drank, and the food gave him enough strength to travel 40 days and 40 nights to Mount Sinai, the mountain of God. Listen, God has a journey. God has a plan. God has a destiny for who the sun sets free is free indeed. Right? And so he has a destiny, but we need to get our life in order and get things in order to prepare for it. Like right now, God is preparing some people right here to go on a missions trip in the summer. You can't wait until June 1 to figure that out. You got to start now. See, God is preparing some of you to do things way beyond your comfort zone, because that's where God lives, beyond your comfort zone. Write that down. No, But we got to get strong enough and to go there, because he went 40 days and 40 nights to a place called Mount Sinai. Simple obedience gets us there. And God's not, see, we're so worried about the big change, we forget to make a change. Have you ever been so overwhelmed with a project you just can't start it? Are you with me? Like, I don't know how I'm going to do it. I'm going to tell you how you do it. You take one step. Take one step. Right? Take one step to your life in order. Take one step. And God's going to meet you there. And so he goes to a place called Mount Sinai. 40 days and 40 nights he travels. He goes to the place that God spoke to Moses. Moses was a big deal in the Old Testament. He was the one parting the Red Sea, the whole deal. Moses heard God there. Many others heard God there. So he went to Mount Sinai. Isn't it interesting that God sent him to Mount Sinai? God's about to send you somewhere for a fresh encounter with God. Do you know where you're about to get sent to? White Oak, Pennsylvania. Tonight at 6 o'clock. We're having this thing called a worship night. And I'm inviting you to come for a fresh encounter with God. I'm inviting you to come. Get all bundled up. That's right. Get some hot tea. Come on down and just spend time worshiping Jesus. We did that last week right here. It was phenomenal. Didn't want to leave. It was just like, oh my goodness, it was so great. Because Pastor Eric and Rachel do such a great job in this setting, cultivating spiritual transformation. That's what they do. And so you get involved here, it's spiritual transformation. This isn't behavioral. We're not trying to get you to just do better. We're trying to be better. And the only way we can be better is be with Jesus. He makes me better. I don't make me better. As a matter of fact, more of me is just more of me. Ain't nobody want that. Okay? But I'm inviting you to come tonight for a fresh encounter with God. See, because we don't realize it, how thirsty we are. We're desperately in need of a fresh encounter with God. And so I'm inviting you. Well, I got kids. Bring them. There's no better place to have your kids. I'm serious. No better place. Well, they're going to get bored. There's some adults that get bored. I don't think God's faced. Bring them. Get them worshiping Jesus with you. Being set free will require us to take some steps for a fresh encounter with God. So Elijah goes on his way to Mount Sinai for a fresh encounter with God. And there he came to a cave. And he spent the night in a cave. But the Lord said to him, now you notice, like, at first the angel goes. And now God's like, I'm going to do this myself. The Lord shows up, says, what are you doing here? I don't know how you read this right here. Maybe it's like God's like, hey, what are you doing here? Hey. Like you had one job, go to Mount Sinai. One job, and you're in a cave. What are you doing here? And then Elijah actually reveals why he's there. He does. And this is it, like, okay, I have zealously served the Lord God Almighty, but the people of Israel have broken their covenant with you and torn down your altars and killed every one of your prophets. I am the only one left. Now, we don't usually say this about spiritual things, but I'm going to say that I'm the only one that cleans up the house. Some of you are afraid to laugh. I'm the only one who takes responsibility around here. Does God know where you live or what? Come on. I'm the only one. And now they're trying to kill me too. Now this is what we say. I'm a forgotten one. I'm a nobody. If you're not somebody in this church, then you're nobody. Pastor Eric has this, and Pastor Eric does, and Pastor Rick does this. And Pastor Rick goes campus to campus. I don't even know what he's doing. I'm the only one left. Come on. God's about to set you free. See, we do this, right? I'm the only one. Nobody appreciates me. Everybody forgotten about me. God, I don't know if you know this, but I'm all that. That's really what we're telling God. You know, the creator of the universe, the one who died for us, went into the grave 3 days, rose from the dead. We're trying to convince him we're all that. He was supposed to be at Mount Sinai. He went into a cave. And this is what you and I do. We go into caves. This is the attitude of caves right here. Cave dwelling is fear, anxiety, fear. We put ourselves down. This is what gets us into caves. And I guarantee you, if I went around the room right now, every one of us have been in a cave at one time or another in our lives. And there's a good chance there's going to be an invitation of a cave at some point this upcoming year. And I'm about to keep you from stepping into it. It's simple obedience keeps us from it. But now we need a fresh encounter here. Here. And so he takes, but you know what's so interesting here? He's in a cave and God went looking for him. Isn't that crazy? He doesn't chastise him. This is what he says in verse 11. Go out and stand before me on the mountain, the Lord told him. And as Elijah stood there, the Lord passed by, and a mighty windstorm hit the mountain. It was such a terrible blast that the rocks were torn loose, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, there was a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of a gentle whisper. Elijah was used to the spectacular. That was nothing to him. God was about to do something new in his life. And many people in the room right now, we're looking for God to do something spectacular. Hey, God, do something spectacular in my life. Do something wonderful. Blow me away, God. And we're looking for all this big stuff. And you know what God is saying in this text? I believe personally, I'm trying to help you today, is he wants to give you the gentle whisper in his voice. We want spectacular. God wants intimate. We want magnificent, and God wants a face-to-face meeting. That's what worship night's all about. That's what this fasting time is all about. Fasting is all about a fresh encounter with God. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, we're fasting. We're doing without natural food so we can focus on God. What is fasting? It's a declaration of dependence on God. I'm declaring my dependence on God. How many of y'all need a declaration of dependence? Because y'all been living independent too long. And so fasting, increased devotion, decreased distractions. That's what fasting is. That's what it is. And, you know, I didn't realize this. I thought I was doing pretty good until I said, you know, we're going to go off. For 3 days, no TV, no social media. I'm going to do social media for 3 weeks. It's not going to be a problem. I'm telling you, those first 3-4 days, I wasn't even thinking. I was just hitting Facebook and Instagram. It was a part of my life, and I didn't even know it. I'm serious. It took me till Thursday and Friday to start to get free because it was just so much in me. And what I'm trying to say is, most of us have things in our life that are controlling us, and we don't even know it. We can't see it until we take a step of simple obedience, and then it provides a fresh encounter with God. I need a fresh encounter with God every day. And so literally, like, thank God. Yesterday, I think it only happened once, and I was like, freedom! And I didn't go in. I was just like, oh, my goodness. It's just natural. And we all have natural tendencies. Yours might be different than mine, but we have them. We have go-tos. I'm going to go to low self-esteem. I'm going to go to anger. I'm going to go to fear. I'm going to go to anxiety. We have a go-to that God wants to release you from. Isn't that cool? Isn't he a great God? That's what he's saying. I want to release you. And we just need some time to still our hearts and say, be still and know that I am God. in worship. Worshiping God is all about when God becomes bigger than my stuff. That's what true praise and worship is. When God becomes bigger than all my circumstances and all my fears and all my anxieties and all my troubles and all my financial woes and all my stuff that I want to get set free from, when he gets bigger than that, that's called worship. You need a go-to worship song. You got, listen, something happens when we get our minds back on God, just even with worship. Do you know most people in the room right now, you could radically change your whole week just if you got a different playlist. Prayer list, too. I mean, you need a prayer list. That was a little slip. I got my prayer list. Matter of fact, I picked it up on the back there, right there. For the next 3 days, I know what I'm praying about with scriptures. You can get one, too. These are free today. You can get them online, too. You can get them, you can get them online. You can get your prayer list. But we need a worship list. How many of y'all have ever felt like you're searching for God but can't find him? How many of y'all like to be found by God? Well, check this out. In John 4, but the time is coming, Jesus' words, verse 23, indeed, it's here now, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship him this way. If we want to be found by God, worship him in spirit and truth. He'll come looking for you. We're worried about where's God. He's like, I'm going to come find you. He went after Elijah. He went and found him. Elijah got a fresh encounter with God. At the gentle whisper, God began to speak. God began to do something. Isn't that pretty cool? That's what happens here in the midst of this here. He will come looking for you. If we want to know where God is, it's when he's worshiped, when he's honored. That's where he shows up. That's where he's welcome. When I'm doing my own thing and I refuse to take steps of simple obedience, he's not there. This works in every aspect of my life. This is not my Sunday morning life. This is my Monday through Saturday life. In my finances, many people want financial freedom, but we don't want to take simple steps of obedience, right? We want freedom in our marriages, but we don't want to take simple steps. We want freedom over anxiety or fear, but we're not taking simple steps. There's simple steps, and then a fresh encounter with God. I need a fresh encounter, as many as I can get. And I just want to keep showing up where I know he's worshiped and honored because I believe he's there. And that's the best place to be. So I hope you'll come out tonight. I want you to come out tonight for a fresh encounter. As a matter of fact, we have 12 prophetic teams. What that means is people that are all, we have 12 different teams of people, teams of two, prepared and prayed up to pray for you tonight. They're ready for you. They're praying. They're declaring over your life blessings. How many of y'all could use a little bit of edification, encouragement, and comfort? How many? How many could use one of those? Edification, comfort, or... Okay, 6 o'clock. Okay. Verse 13. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and he went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And a voice again said, what are you doing here, Elijah? I called you somewhere else. Are you with me? Do you know what? This is a word. He wrapped his face. I believe personally, this is my view of this. He wrapped his face because he wanted to be hidden from God. And there's people in this room right now, you're hiding from God. You just don't want him to see all of you because you're embarrassed. And I want to tell you, because of Jesus Christ, you don't have to be embarrassed anymore. We can unwrap our face. And all we have to do is go to the entrance of the cave. Hear me. God's not even, if you'll just go to the entrance of the cave in simple obedience, God is going to meet you there. See, we get all fixated on the big thing and the grandiose and the masterpiece and all these things, and God just says, go to the entrance. And God's going to say, what are you doing here? And Elijah reveals again. Is that a word for you today? Go to the edge. Just go to the entrance and watch what God will do. Watch what God will do in your life just at the entrance of the cave. Just dare to come out to be seen. God's not afraid of what he's going to see. And he replied again, I have zealously served the Lord God Almighty, but the people of Israel has broken their covenant, torn down your... He sounds like a broken record. Elijah, get off it already. Doesn't he sound like, oh my goodness, like I know God wouldn't roll his eyes. I would. You would. Let me rewrite. I rewrote this verse. This is me now. I rewrote it for me. I'm the only one that honors you, God. And not one of those people do. I've sacrificed for years and years. Nobody appreciates what I've done. In the midst of turmoil, accusations, put downs, that's my verse 14. I'm not proud of it, but I have a verse 14. How about you? And I just feel God inviting me to stop rewriting the same thing over and over. And God saying, crumple it up and throw it away. And there's people in the room here, you've been rewriting and restating verse 14. Man, God, this pressure and this pain and this problem and problems with kids who are far from God and problems with finances and problems with work. And God, you don't know how faithful I am. How could you do this with me? And God is just having me throw it all away. And give up all that stuff so that I can have a fresh encounter with God. Because I need him more than I need for me to reiterate how miserable I am for him. Because quite frankly, that's arrogant and I'm not proud of it. I'm not at all. I'm embarrassed of it. But I do it. Well, if they want freedom, they should just... They want this... I'm giving peace of my mind. Maybe that's not you. Maybe you're beyond that. And if you are, praise God. But God's inviting me out of the cave. I want you to come too. Are you ready? We just got to give it up. He was ashamed. God's asking us to unwrap our faces before him. Because where I am does not define who I am. You're in a cave right now. That's where you are. It's not who you are. You're struggling right now with confusion. That's just where you are. It's not who you are. And if we'll take steps of simple obedience, if we'll get a fresh encounter with God, this last step is into a new assignment. God wants to either refresh or give you a fresh assignment from heaven. One of the reasons I gave my life to Jesus Christ is because he gave me a purpose. I didn't have a purpose in my life other than me. And when I realized I could live for something and God accepted me, that was all I needed. I needed a purpose. And there's this quote from this Holocaust survivor. People have enough to live by, but nothing to live for. They have the means, but no meaning. God's about to breathe some meaning back into your life. That's what prayer is all about. It's a two-way communication. It's not telling God my wish list. It's conversing. It's spending time. And then last Wednesday night when we were here, I was blown away. I could have stayed all night. God breathes his purpose, and that's why I'm inviting you to come tonight. That's why I'm inviting you into this season with me. Not for me. You're not doing this for me. If you're doing it for me or Pastor Eric, that's pretty shallow. Neither one of us have the ability to reward you. But God does, because he'll see and he'll reward. We need a new assignment here. That's what God's doing. Nothing is more powerful on earth than a new assignment. Verse 15, then the Lord told him, go back the same way you came and travel to the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive there, anoint Hazael to be the king of Aram. Then anoint Jehu, grandson of Nimshi, to be the king of Israel. Oh, man. And anoint Elijah, the son of Shaphat, from the town of Abel Mahalah, to replace you as my prophet. God doesn't wait for Elijah to get his act together before he gives him an assignment. God never chastised him. God was never mad at him. God never again, it's how you read that. What are you doing here? God's inviting us into a new assignment, into a fresh new move. God's inviting us into a freshness. God's inviting you in. And many people in the room right now, your first step of obedience, Pastor Eric's going to give you your first step of obedience, is to go to Bridge City 101 and learn what it means to be an active and growing part of the church, because being an active and growing part of the church has to do with freedom. So he's going to invite you to join he and Rachel in this quest in Murraysville, Bridge City Church, to be free. And matter of fact, I think he's a man worth following. He and Rachel are worth following. That's why I'm inviting you. I'm not inviting you to a program. I don't have time for a program. I'm inviting you to freedom. I'm inviting you to a new way to think. Just how Elijah got a new way. So he gets three new assignments. Anoint these three people. And so God gave him an assignment. God gave him, anoint this one and this one. And he goes, and then your successor, Elisha, you're going to go find somebody to help. I'm in no place to help anybody. No, that's where you are. That's not who you are. You got to come tonight and allow people to pray over you and speak a new assignment over your life. As a matter of fact, tonight I'm going to share just a couple minutes about, I'm going to share with you how God spoke to me this last week about a new assignment in my life. I'm going to share that tonight just for a couple minutes, a little shorter exhortation about hearing God. Too many people back out of their assignment too soon. Too many people can't take the simple obedience, a fresh encounter with God, and then a new assignment. That's what God wants to give you. That's what he wants to give me. And in verse 15, in the beginning part, says, go back the same way you came. One of the very few instances in the Bible where God sends somebody back the same way. Typically, don't go that way. Go a different way. Go around here. Go do this. One of the few times God tells Elijah, you need to go back. And what God's about to do is send you home to the people you live with and back to your workplace and back to your community and back to your small groups with a whole different life and vision. One of the few times. He's about to say, not go back in sin, not go back in backsliding. No, I have still things for you to do. Go and anoint Hazael, Jael, Elisha. Go and do what I've given you to do. And God is sending us, refreshing our mission and our purpose in him. I think that's pretty cool. Yeah. In 1 Kings 19, 18, yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him. Baal was a false prophet. Baal was an idol, basically. Not a false prophet, but an idol. There was prophets of Baal. I want you to catch something here. Remember how many times Elijah said, I'm the only one? Over and over. God's saying, you think you're the only one? I got 7,000 others. I got 7,000 others. See, you don't want to be alone? Get with the 7,000 others. You don't want to feel like you can't make it on your own? Get with the 7,000 others. And this is what I'm speaking to you. If you want a new assignment, it's always going to incorporate a bigger group than you. It's going to incorporate something bigger than you. It's good. See, when you submit and you surrender to God, to something bigger than you, God meets us there, and he's saying, I got 7,000 others here. Come and see them. This is my equivalent. This is what I can say. We're one church in four locations. How many people come on Sunday morning? Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. I don't see them. Come and see them. I'm trying to get us to see something here, that our purpose is not just my purpose, it's in with the whole. If my purpose isn't fulfilled in the whole, I'm missing it. I'm falling short. And then he gives them those couple guys to minister to here. And he stepped into relational strength. And that's groups. Groups are coming. Small groups are coming. And starting February 2nd, you got to get yourself a group, because we can't do it alone. How many of you are tired of doing it alone? All the groups aren't posted yet, but they will be soon. I'm just letting you know, get ready. But until groups start, you got Sunday nights and you got Wednesday nights. See what I did there? There's relational strength to sit right here and be taught and instructed on how to pray and pray with other people. I don't see myself alone. I'm with other people. And something happens when my eyes come up for me and see God. Come on, is God speaking to you this morning? There are people here today that are about to take your first simple step of obedience. I gave you one. Pastor Eric's going to invite you to all these things. And I'm telling you, he's given you an invitation from a shepherd's heart, from a heart of a shepherd. That's his invitation. Not trying to keep the program going, not trying to keep the org going. No, we're trying to keep the movement of Jesus Christ going. Are you with me? Because he is freeing people. He's setting people free. And I want to be a part of that. You. Simple steps of obedience, a fresh encounter with God, and a new assignment. God is about to breathe a new assignment on you. If you're saying here today, any one of those points meant something to you, you say, man, I need one of those. Could you just stand to your feet? I'm going to pray for you just right here to me, because you can come tonight and get prayer up close and personal. If you know you have a simple step of obedience, you know you need to step into a fresh encounter with God, you know that you need a new assignment, just stand to your feet right now. Just that's all you're doing. You're just saying, I need one of those. That's all you're committing to. Not committing to anything else. Heavenly Father, I pray over all of us standing, Lord God. I pray right now, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, that you'd rekindle, reignite, Lord God, your presence, your passion, your fire, God. But even this week during prayer and fasting, all the people standing, Lord God, that you would meet them where they are, Lord God. Lord God, that you would give them a fresh encounter, a fresh word, a fresh presence, Lord God. Something fresh from you, Jesus. So, Lord God, I thank you, Lord God, for this season that these wonderful, awesome people that love you and serve you and want to know you, God. So, Lord God, I just ask you right now for freedom over them. Freedom, freedom, freedom. Lord God, I speak freedom in life, freedom in life. Power of God right now in Jesus' name. Right now in Jesus' name. Lord God, I thank you, Father, for clear direction. I thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit to help them. I thank you, Lord God, that you're going to minister to each and every one of them right now in Jesus' name, in the name of Jesus. Just say, standing right where you are. And right before I close up here, one of the most important things I could ever say to you is if you don't have a relationship with God the Father, that's the most intimate, most wonderful thing God wants from you, and he wants for you. We want for you, he wants from you. If you don't have a relationship with God, I want to invite you into a relationship with God by saying, Jesus Christ, I want to surrender my heart and my life to you, and I want you to come and be the center of my life, so I'm giving up the throne. I want you to be in charge. And Jesus, forgive me of all my sin. That first word for free, Jesus wants to free you, remove the darkness over your life spiritually, and give you free indeed. So that's what he wants. And he starts by surrendering to him. Your whole entire life, if you've never done that, but you'd like to do that, I want to invite you to a relationship with God. Religion will wear you out. Religion is difficult. That's man's attempt to please God. We are not talking about a religion. We are talking about a relationship, which is a relationship as God is already pleased by what Jesus Christ has done on the cross. So we're receiving that forgiveness in life. If you're here today and you would like to begin this awesome journey of being set free spiritually, I just want you right where you are, just real simple, just slip up your hand. Slip up your hand. I'm going to pray for you, anybody at all today, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody here today? Thank you, Lord. Anybody at all? Heavenly Father, I thank you for freedom. I thank you for life. I thank you, Lord God, for a fresh start. I thank you, Lord God, for empowerment. I thank you, Lord God, for all these things, Lord God. And Lord God, thank you, Father, for every hand raised that would be, look at, their names would be written in the Lamb's Book of Life, Lord God. And Lord God, thank you for being so awesome. Thank you for doing all that you do, Lord. In the name of Jesus. And in just a moment, when we sit down, you can take that card that's on your seats and you can fill it out. And there's a part on there about becoming a follower of Jesus. And you can check that off.